Normally, baptism is a very joyful and colorful experience. We dress our babies up in beautiful white gowns. Even the poor boys end up in dresses for a little bit. They have their soft skin and their beautiful face. If I'm lucky, they stay quiet most of the time. Usually I'm not so lucky. It's even neat to see a young person get baptized or an adult because you see the joy on their face. I remember last Easter when a couple of the young ladies who are now in our school got baptized at this font, and I remember just looking up in the expression of joy on their face to see an older person who has really waited their whole life to be baptized and didn't even know it. We have the beautiful symbols, the giant Easter candle, the anointing with holy chrism, with smells sweet, the clean water. And then you picture in your mind Jesus who is out in a river. The Jordan River runs from in the north, the Sea of Galilee, down to the Dead Sea. It's rather plush around that river, and it's kind of a green water, at least it is today. Not exactly as beautiful and as proper as it is here at Christ the King. You see, at its onset, the baptism of Jesus teaches us one thing. The first thing about following him, and that is humility. In fact, John reiterates this in the gospel today. He's coming to John, and John's like, hey, it should be the other way around here, right? Because you are the Son of God, and I'm just a prophet. Many of us approach our service of the Lord with obligation. Right now, I'm just started today meetings with all of our high school students for their parish family agreements. For those of you who are not familiar, it's like a contract. Because they are receiving such a gift at Bishop Carroll, at no expense tuition-wise, approximately $20,000 will be spent on them by the parish, over 50,000 from the course from K through 12. And so we have them sign this contract that says, no, I don't expect you to be perfect, but I do expect you to do service to your parish, to the people who are giving you the gift of a Catholic education. And it's funny because some of these kids respond out of obligation, well, Father, I didn't know I had to do that. Well, it's kind of like when your parents tell you to, should I have to tell you to clean your room or clear your plate when you're, 18 years old? You should be doing it out of love. It's interesting. I was visiting with a college student recently, a young man, and he came to see me and he said, Father, I have been really concentrated on what I have to do to please God. And I had this epiphany in my prayer. And I knew what he was going to say because I think a lot of us have gone through it. He said he realized that pleasing God wasn't just about obeying. That's a start. It's about something much deeper. It's about falling in love. Which level are you on? Are you on the level of I have to obey God and I am pleasing to God because I obey him? Or does pleasing God go much deeper into I please him because I love him? Service takes humility. And in fact, I find that service is exactly what makes us humble. I know the first time that I was asked to go down and serve the homeless or the poor, I was so scared, right? It was outside my experience. And yet it was actually forcing myself into that, probably my parents forcing me into it, that gave me the humility to do it and to keep doing it. How do we find humility? By service. And particularly by service of one another. And not because that other person is a child of God, but because, even greater than that, that other person has Jesus Christ existing within them. I don't know how many stories I have heard from various saints over the years and from people just like you that they saw somebody, did something for them, and then later they disappeared. And for many of the saints, Jesus would then come to them in a dream that night and say, "You know that homeless person you just gave a meal to? And then they disappeared. That was me." I was driving up the other night, and there was a man walking along Maple here in the street. And I pulled in and tugged at my heart and said, "Well, I ought to go out and, you know, see what I can do for him." When I looked back out, he was gone. So I said a prayer for him. But it made me wonder, was that Jesus walking down the side of that road? And why wasn't I humble enough to stop? A second consequence of the baptism of the Lord comes with the consecration of the water. St. Ambrose puts it this way. The Lord was baptized not to be cleansed himself, but to cleanse the waters, so that those waters cleansed by the flesh of Christ, which knew no sin, might have the power of baptism. In other words, he was consecrating the water so that it had the power to baptize. Now, I remember in college we had a professor who, and I tried to find the reference for this and I couldn't. I spent a bunch of time and then figured I better finish my homily. But I remember him saying that there was a scientist who had theorized that the water that Jesus was baptized with, that in theory all those hydrogen and oxygen molecules that he was baptized with have now spread out throughout the world. And that even when you were baptized, that some of the molecules that Jesus was baptized, you were baptized with too. I thought, well, that's kind of cool. Who knows if it's true? But it's pretty cool. And it hones in on the idea that St. Ambrose is trying to demonstrate, that he wasn't there because he needed it. He was there to change the water because we needed it. And it led me to wonder, do I have the same effect on the things that I encounter? I mean, if Jesus can be baptized, if he can receive something, does he have, you know, just as he affected what he received, do I do the same thing? I was over in Old Chicago the other day with a parishioner having lunch. Some of it was business, some of it was just catching up. And I had a $25 gift card, and I got a $23 bill. And the guy I was sitting with said, "Oh, great, you know, you got enough for a tip." I'm thinking, $2 tip? That's 10%. That ain't too good, right? And I'm sitting there in my collar, and I told him, I said, "Well, you know, when you're wearing the collar, you got a tip good, right? Because it reflects not just on you, it reflects on the church." I remember once my sister, she was training in cosmetology down here at Zanon's, and I loved to go in and she'd practice on my hair. I don't let her do that anymore. But I was working at the time, had a little extra money, so I gave her a $100 bill as a tip. All her friends were jealous. Do we affect the people that serve us? And those are two kind of bad demonstrations because they're about money. But, you know, even the smile to the clerk at the store, I found asking them, I hate talking to somebody that I don't know as if I knew them, right? They greet you and they say, "How are you today? Do you really care? Or do you just want my money?" Right? I know that's it. But you know what? Here's an opportunity to affect the person serving me. "I'm doing well. How are you?" And half of them look back up at you with this look of surprise, like, "Seriously, you're asking me?" And I'll stare at them and wait for a response. You see, guys, just as Jesus affected the water at his baptism, when we receive something, we have the chance to affect a change in it. There's a famous story from Greek mythology of King Midas. Some of you remember this story. King Midas asked for the gift of being able to touch things and make them into gold, or turn them into gold, right? And he wanted this gift from a selfish point of view. He wanted to be rich. And he didn't quite think it out, because then every time he touched a piece of food to eat it, it turned to gold, and he died of starvation. Brothers and sisters, you have a chance to touch, and not just touch, but consecrate the lives of others. A chance to be Jesus Christ to others. But what the biggest difference is do we approach it like Midas, or do we approach it like Jesus? Do we approach it with a selfishness, as if, what can I get out of it? Or how can I effect a change that will give this person life? So do you affect change in people? And more than just affecting a change in them, do you consecrate them to Jesus Christ when they encounter you? Do you bless them as Jesus blessed the waters 2,000 years ago? And just as that scientist theorized about how all the molecules go out through the end of the earth, when you touch one person's life, when you bless their life, when you are Christ to them, it can have ripple effects that extend to the whole world. Especially those of you who are here today who are baptized. This is the power of your baptism, that you can be Jesus Christ to others.